Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today is taken from 1 Peter, the first chapter. We hear again at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is God's word. The year was 2009, and the time was coming when everyone would be reminded why he was the king. He was timeless. His followers were from all generations. This was to be his greatest moment. The dancers were getting ready. The venue was set. Tickets were sold. Dates confirmed. This would be it, the grand finale, the capstone to remind everyone why he was the king of pop. It would be a performance of a lifetime, actually 50 performances, something no one would ever forget. For Michael Jackson, it would cement his legacy. The concerts would be called This Is It. However, it wasn't it. The greatest performance ever ended up a movie made up of rehearsals for the greatest performance ever because Michael Jackson did not live long enough for any of this to happen. In the wake of his death, some were lost in a flood of emotion. This man meant so much to me. He touched my life, came the comments. Some were apathetic to the whole situation. Go figure, another celebrity dying before their time. A film was released, as I mentioned, the title of it being This Is It, made up entirely of rehearsal footage. And that phrase took on a whole new meaning. What was meant originally as a statement, an assertion of greatness, this is it, became a comment on finality. This is it. There's no more. If you were to wrap up your life in one story, just one, what would it be? What would be the one big story that makes sense of all the other little stories? You know, our lives are filled with countless little stories. We go to work in the morning, we come home at night. A promotion may come. We tell the little stories of our families, the games that we attend, the graduations, the successes, the failures. But in one way or another, everyone is looking to put their little stories into the context of just one big defining story for their lives. And some go big. Some try out for American Idol. Some swing for the fences. Others go a little smaller and just hope that we have something of worth to leave to our children or our loved ones. Some just want enough stashed away so we can go see the world, see the things we've always wanted to see, and then put some pictures on Facebook to prove that we were there. Some go on mission trips to do some good in the world, whatever it is you do, we're all searching for that thing that gives life meaning. We hope that, in the words of Peter, it will be imperishable, undefiled, and unfading for all time. And yet we might sit there and say to ourselves, this is it. As you are aware, two thieves were crucified with Jesus, one on each side. And each thief had his story, as we have our own stories. Your stories are not my stories. Your stories are not your neighbor's stories, or not even your spouse or your children's stories. Now, our stories overlap. They touch one another. Of course they do. That was the case with these thieves. The overlap in their stories were a life of crime, getting caught, condemnation, and execution. But in the end, each thief was defined in dramatically different ways. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at our Lord. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us," he said. That thief's defining story was one of cynicism, physical death, and the death of the soul. But the other thief's story reads this way. The other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." What's this thief's story? It's simple. Confession of guilt, forgiveness from Jesus, and the promise of paradise. This is it. Not with a question mark at the end, but with an exclamation point. This is the big story that brings all of our little stories together. It's the defining story that helps us understand who we are and where we're going. And it's this big story that Peter had in mind when he wrote to Christians who were scattered throughout Asia Minor, which we know today as the country of Turkey. In his first letter to these Christians, Peter wrote, you heard it before, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. You who through faith are being guarded or shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's already to be revealed in the last days." Their life together was defined by this incredible story, and so is ours. Because of the loving acts of God, you and I have a resurrected Savior who gives us hope and an eternal inheritance. "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's the promise. And there's insight in this text, this letter from Peter, for living as Christians today. In the past, our nation welcomed the story of Jesus told by the Bible. Going to church was a social norm, almost. Many people, whether they were churchgoers or not, knew their Bible stories. Today, all kinds of stories are being told in these United States. Today, the Christian message is one story among many, and in some cases it's become unwelcome. All of which is to say our situation is in some ways similar to the situation of the Christians to whom Peter was originally writing. They were not people of privilege or high rank. They had never been the party in power. They had no hopes of being so. So how should we live, they wondered, as do we. Amid all the stories swirling in our fractured and fragmented society, and some of those stories are downright terrifying, Peter encourages us to live together in the story that defines us. He would have us yearn to be immersed in the story of God's mercy, the story of God's loving acts taken on your behalf. Again, in His great mercy, He has given us a new birth, Peter writes. Our story is about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. One who died and came back to life, holding power over death itself. If that does not give us hope, what could? Peter continued, a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our story is about living not just with purpose, but with victory. The victory of a risen Savior shared with us. And then he adds that we are risen and living towards a goal, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, which is kept in heaven for you. And how are we kept? What does that mean? How are we shielded? It says through faith. You are protected by God's power that's ready to be revealed. Faith is like the mighty fortress that we sing about so often. As the walls of a fortress keep people safe within, so the teachings of Jesus in God's Word keep our souls safe. That God sent Jesus to die, to pay the penalty, the cost for our sins, that His resurrection gives us hope because He shares a risen life with us, that we have a heavenly future to look forward to, surrounding ourselves with these teachings of faith. That's how we're shielded. That's how we're protected. It's what Paul was talking about in his letter to the Philippians when he said that we are guarded by a peace that surpasses all understanding. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You and I and the entire world are in the same position as those thieves on the cross. Where is our imperishable, undefiled, unfading life? Where is it to be found? What story will define you? Well, how about this? Jesus, may our hearts be burning with more fervent love for You. May our eyes be ever turning to behold Your cross anew. till in glory, parted never from the blessed Savior's side, graven in our hearts forever, dwell the cross, the crucified. This is it. Amen.